Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
So charged up about that shit. But I was like, do you want to see gruesome acts on the news? I'm confused. What are we really upset about?
Gosh, damn it. But that's the thing is that.
You're allergic to that bullshit in the news. That's what it is.
That's what's killing me. I've been letting that ball of just hate linger in my lungs for so long that now it's just trying to come out.
We have a big. And speaking of the news, bro, on the cover of today's paper, the Arizona Republic. Let me click on it. Mind, I have one shortcut for the news, and it opens is the actual paper, like the digital version of the paper. I don't give a fuck about what's happening right now.
Right.
Although it's not working right now. It's about the marijuana shops. Here we go. Cause it's the Sunday paper. It's about the marijuana shops are inflating prices and lying about the quantity of THC in their products.
They're overinflating chili, left eye, and what? T-Boss?
Lisa Lopez? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so big expose. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I love the Sunday paper because it's always where they throw the random shit that's really no one cares about.
Right.
It's not important, you know. But yeah, it's. I thought that was just a big ass pot leaf on the front cover. I was like, Arizona's a different place.
Well, I remember LA got into it because, you know, because everybody was like, I don't want to buy marijuana pot from, you know, the dispensaries because they're so expensive. But that was because everybody was charging a tax.
Yeah.
So it made it literally so expensive that it made dealers being cheaper to go to.
It's so funny because people are still lying to get medical cards because you get it cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what you all wanted. You wanted it to be legal. And the main point that the pot community was saying was that, oh, but the taxes will pay for shit. Now they're like, this is too expensive. I don't want I'm like, fuck you guys, dude.
Shit.
It's too expensive because it's a luxury item.
Yeah.
If you don't have a medical card, it's not, you don't need it.
It's like an iPhone.
Right. I was talking to my friend because I have a couple friends who are, for the lack of a better word, potheads. And
I thought you were going to be like, I have these two friends because lack of a better word, they're friends.
Right. Well, they work jobs and they're functioning members of society. So, but they smoke a lot of fucking weed and they smoke, what is it even called? Like dab or whatever? I don't know. I'm not into the scene. And they were complaining about that. It's so expensive. I was like, every time we're on Discord, we'll be on Discord for like 4 hours at night. You are constantly smoking weed, like the entire time. Maybe pace yourself, and it wouldn't be so expensive. Weed's not expensive. You expensive. That expensive ass habit.
Jesus.
If it's too expensive, stop doing it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
like the people that, you know, it's like going, God, Starbucks is so expensive. Well, why don't you stop getting Starbucks? Well, I need my coffee in the morning.
Right. Everybody needs it. And that's the curse of capitalism, my friends. And you know what's, you know, I was reading, it was an audio book, but something that, a quote from it.
I thought you were going to say, like, I was reading. Well, actually, I wasn't reading.
I don't read. No. There was a quote from it that spoke of the devil and sin. And he said, a sin from the devil won't feel like it's bad. It will feel like a thirst is quenched, that you needed it all along. And I was like, that's true.
Yeah. Like in this episode, Hoshi in a black negligee.
The thirst. Is real.
I'm parched right now just thinking about it.
I think Linda Park is one of the sexiest women on television in history. Okay? She's literally gorgeous. It's ridiculous. It's the point where if there's a scene where she just looks extra cute, you're almost upset.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this bitch. Like, what the fuck?
She has the Orion pheromone, the Orion slave girl pheromones in this episode. Like,
They're all in my nose. I can't even think straight. But it's not only that, she's also a good actress. Like, she's good at her job.
You have
a really hot chick on a show that sucks, and you're like, ugh. You know?
I mean, it's just like, God damn, like in this episode was just, you know, ridiculous on how hot she can.
I'm simping for Linda Park.
Like, seriously, like, obviously she said herself that this was, you know, her favorite episode.
Yeah, she could be herself. You understand? Wink, wink.
I no longer have to hide who I am.
Jesus. Can you believe she's 44? Look at a current picture of Linda Park.
Oh, yeah.
44, please.
Yeah, I follow her on
Instagram. She's fucking lying. He just follows her physically.
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't like the term stalking. I thought that was a little too offensive. I follow her on Instagram, and I was just like going, she's 44? Like, fuck, dude.
I forget she was in that Dahmer show for one episode.
Yeah, she was also – she's in a couple of other shows. That, but I don't have like broadcast cable, so it's like hard for me to find. And but it's like, it's just like kind of ridiculous on just like back then, like the way they do it makes her look, you know, cute and kind of like, you know, oh, she's young and cute and kind of naive. And in this episode, oh, she's been around for a little bit, you know,
she's working some angles and some positions. You understand what I'm talking about?
With whoever and whenever she can is what I'm sitting on in this episode.
Listen, there's a bit of, let's just call it the hero worship, okay? That's all I'm saying. And I'm not ashamed at all.
By the way, this episode, as this episode is released, it's going to be released on the 23rd of December, so it's Christmas weekend. For this, we're recording this a week early because, you know, Adam's got a retailish job now, so it's going to be hell going into those. And
I work overnight.
Yeah, so. But still, it's gonna be.
The store is dirty as fuck. Like, my boss comes over and goes, "Hey, can you make sure you can like zone that I was in pets?" And I go, "Yeah," and zone means make everything look pretty and push it to the front. And I go, "Yeah, sure, man." And then I go into the department. I go, "What the fuck happened in here?" Like, and the sad thing was, I zoned it the night before, so it was only a day,
right?
And literally, just shit was upside down, spilling off onto the floor. I was like, "What the fuck?" I was like, "These people ain't got no fucking home training."
Since I've done many, many years of retail. Sometimes when I go into like Target or something like that, I'm looking at shit and I'm like, God, this is like all of it. I actually kind of zone a little bit. Like, I start to kind of straighten it up a little bit just for myself to look at shit. But it's kind of like, this should be over here. What the fuck is this? So that I just kind of put it back. But yeah, so what are your plans for Christmas, by the way?
I'm just being at home with the kids. Oh, we're doing Secret Santa with everybody because everybody's broke.
Right.
And Secret Santa is a cheaper alternative because everyone will just have to get one gift. Well, not everyone, because everyone forgets that I have seven people in this house, which means my wife and I will need to buy seven gifts. But that's fine. They wanted to do that elephant thing.
Oh, the white elephant. Yeah.
I said no. And they go, why not? I'm like, because I feel like the spirit of Christmas makes no sense when everyone's stealing things from each other.
Right.
Like, I've never understood the concept of white elephant and why I would want to do that. And I've always heard stories of, oh, yeah, I got this real cool thing. Then my cousin took it. Fuck that bitch. I was all, that's not that's not what Christmas is supposed to be.
Exactly. You know?
But I do like Secret Santa because it puts everyone on an equal playing field. Because, you know, I got some nephews that are struggling this year, and fuck, I'm struggling this year. You know, and everybody we're going to set a price limit.
Yeah.
And so everybody will just be on equal playing field. You won't have that one motherfucker who had a good month, you know, fucking making everyone look like a bitch.
A PS5? What the fuck?
Yeah. Although, we had to have a talk with one of my oldest nephew, because last year my poor son William, he got him a $20 gift card to Walmart and a bag of potatoes. And
that sounds like it should have been for you.
And he put these items in a PlayStation 4 box.
Oh, what a dick.
So he did that shit. And then my son was freaking out. And I don't talk to this nephew as much because he's older. Now I do, but back then we never did. And he pulls out the potatoes and he goes, why did you give me potatoes? And he looks at me and I legit got upset. I was like, why did you get him fucking potatoes? And he goes, it's just something to weigh the box down. And then you see his wheels and he goes, oh, no. I was like, let me put some fucking tortillas in that fucking box to weigh it down and hand it back to you, you bitch.
Suddenly you started sounding like an Irish man from the 1800s, you know?
Yeah, I have a fucking Scully cap on and shit. All of a tweed jacket, motherfucker. I'm holding the top of the jacket like, oh, okay.
You're Boston Irish from the 1800s suddenly popping in, you know?
I'm flipping a coin up in the air and shit while I'm leaning on a wall. You know, all the stereotypes. What's it called?
Perky Binders?
Is Perky that like- Blind. Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, yeah.
Fuck yeah. But yeah, so
oh shit.
They had to have a talk with him and said, do not do that again. If you if you want to get him a gift card, but the problem is when you're doing Secret Santa, you really have no excuse to do a gift card. Yeah. You only have one person. Ask around.
Yeah, that's just being
ask
lazy.
Ask them what they like, that's, you know.
This is being lazy.
Yeah, so they're setting little rules and parameters, and I'm just like, well, I'm not going to buy any of these gifts. I don't care. My wife will buy them because I'm a horrible gift buyer. Well, at least my wife says I am. None of my friends have ever complained about my gifts.
No, the gifts you sent me have liked. So it's like,
yeah, my wife is just picky, but she doesn't want to admit. Although this her birthday this time, I think I won. Not one complaint, not one weird look, and I just got her. Well, I got her a card. I got her a gift card to Starbucks, which was more of a joke thing because she jokingly said she wanted a gift card to Starbucks. And then I got her it's this like snack box that had a bunch of Japanese snacks in it.
Oh.
Like so Japanese that it had to have a cheat sheet that told you what it was because she loves trying like snacks from other countries.
Oh, weird.
And I've given her a Mexican candy one before, but I can go to fucking down the street to get that. You know, well, actually nowadays I can go down the street to get Japanese candy too, but I don't know what the fuck it is. We have a bunch of Asian markets here. Like, it's really weird. Like, we have like full-on grocery stores, a whole blocks. I'm like, damn, fucking Asians out here in Arizona, bro. lobby and they're getting Korean noodles and shit. No one speaks English. Oh, what's up? Anyway.
That's cool.
Speaking of Asian noodles, Linda Parkin. That was disrespectful. Wow. Okay? I was just trying to segue. I apologize.
Oh, this is a follow-up to last week. I remember when I was talking about the Orion pirate last week, and then I mentioned he was on the A-team, there was something that kept nagging me. I was like, oh, there was something I heard about the A-team, and I couldn't remember what it was. And I just remembered it before we started this episode. Somebody said that somebody was doing this retrospective on the A-team, and they were talking about all the actors that came on there. They go, yeah, and they go, there were a lot of actors that were really young. And then they showed Kurtwood Smith, who played, you know, the dad on That 70s Show. And they show him playing this, and obviously this is like early 80s, so he looked really young. And the caption they were putting actors' names on some, but for him they put quotes, "bitches leave," quote, "guy." And I started rolling.
I mean, that's some accurate shit, bro.
But what's hilarious is, like, he's known for, like, a lot of these, and plus, like, That 70s Show. Even in Star Trek, you know, he played the president of the Federation. But he's ultimately known in this current generation as "bitches leave." Like,
I love it.
I cracked it when I saw them. I just saw in quotations, "bitches leave" is like in quotations and "guy." Yeah, I mean, shit's tough for me too. This, you know, and so I've even had to leave notes for all the women that I stalk, saying it's not gonna really be much of a Christmas this year. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
I can only make it to so many windows.
Yeah, and you know, it's like inflation, and just like it's just crazy. So, you know, anyways, this episode is one of, well, part one and two. Is one of my all-time favorites in the entire franchise of Star Trek. And of course, in this one, this is going to be our last episode of 2022. It's coming out on December 23rd, and then we won't be back till probably early January, so we'll be off for like maybe two, three weeks. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure yet. Adam's got to finalize his schedule, what happens after, so we can figure it out. And which I think is kind of interesting because we end this episode on a cliffhanger. So this is you probably heard in the Mirror Darkly, it's a Mirror Universe episode, which has been used a lot in Trek, but in the original series and DS9. There were no Mirror Universe episodes in TNG, if I remember correctly.
They did it. They did do a comic book run, though. Well, that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember.
Evil Data's weird, bro.
Picard was yoked, as I remember.
Yeah, he had a sleeveless uniform, and he was fucking with them guns, bro.
It was weird.
It was really good.
It was weird hearing him talk about 20-inch pythons. That's what it is. Not that I'm against it, but you know, it was just a little odd. But unlike TOS or DS9 or even Discovery, this episode is entirely in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah.
So
which is really cool.
Which I think was really great. We can just jump right into it because the teaser psychs you out in a lot of ways, because the teaser is essentially the end of Star Trek First Contact, which is our first episode of this podcast. And it comes down where you see, you know, the Vulcan ship landing in Montana and Zefram Cochran, the actual imagery of Zefram Cochran and the Vulcan that comes out of that, does the salute, and then Zefram Cochran goes and kills a bitch. Like, seriously, like, he didn't do the Vulcan salute, so fuck it, I'm just gonna kill you straight up. Pulls out a shotgun, kills the Vulcan, kills the other Vulcan, and then the humans go and storm the ship. So yeah, that's the teaser, so which is actually pretty cool. And then the credits We don't get it's been a long road. No, we get a full on orchestral dark opening with just
shows all of our shows a lot of war,
a lot of human achievements, if you will. Yeah. A lot of war, a lot of battle.
The other side of humanity, essentially.
Yeah. Some variations on shots, like we saw that one ship that flies like towards the moon, but this time it's actually blowing up a moon space station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, of course, some imagery from past Trek episodes where the Enterprise blows up that Rigelian ship and some of the other things going on. So, yeah, it was really cool. I always kind of liked that intro, and I love it because it's like, we're not giving you anything. Like, this episode kind of starts off with, like, we're not giving you anything. It's almost Watchmen-esque, if you really think about it. Like, the movie?
Yeah, actually, because it's kind of cool because you just basically jump into a world already in progress.
Right.
Which I did enjoy. And it was funny because I remember watching this when it first aired, and you don't know. You don't know what's happening because it's just regular TV. So you just put it up and you're like, this isn't the intro. Like, you're kind of like, what the fuck is happening?
I remember watching this episode on TV and I think hearing that it was a mirror universe, I was like, oh, I gotta wonder who's going. And in my mind, of course, it's like, who's going to go to the mirror universe, you know? Right. And this time I just saw it. I was like, oh, they're doing First Contact. I go, that's weird. And then seeing Jeff from Cochrane pump a bitch full of fucking lead. I was like, what? Like, what the fuck just happened here?
Isn't this the first time they established that the mirror universe is in the past? Like, it's behind the main universe?
I think so.
Because they say that in this episode.
Yeah, but in the episode of TOS, it's the exact same time.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it kind of jumps around. And even in... Well, I don't know, because DS9 didn't really establish what timeline it was.
Mm-mm.
So, but I know in TOS it was the same time, and in this one it was in the past. Well, no, because it's the same time period for them, just the object they're going for is from the future because of that temporal break. So I don't know. I don't know how they.
Yeah. So maybe it was just from the future in the other, whatever. There's so many tachyons and fucking.
Basically, this episode is a Mary Sue. Yeah. Is what we're trying to say.
That's exactly right.
And the true star of this episode is Hoshisato.
I mean, the true star of my heart.
If you thought our obsession with her borderlined on creepy before. You haven't been paying close enough attention.
No, you haven't.
You have not.
You really haven't.
So
it's going to get real fucking weird, okay? Because the thing is...
I mean, you have to be literally bloodshot eye high to enjoy this episode is really what I'm kind of thinking you need to
be. I'm just saying, usually we obsess over Hoshi, but she's still, you know, a Starfleet person and she's professional and this and that. She ain't that in this episode. Okay. So I'm not saying she's asking for, I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. No, she the first scene she shows up, I think I almost threw up. I fucking was so shocked.
This pair of episodes that we were discussing in this recording session have been very, have gone a very, very different direction.
Listen, in the right direction. Okay.
Oh, shit. So we jump on board the ISS Enterprise. It's not just Enterprise like in our main universe.
Yeah, it's not a NX.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny is there, and I, this happens a little later, but I just want to mention it because they don't say anything. I feel the warp in is faster. But then I was like, I'm out here extrapolating, like I'm connecting red string, you know. If they took over the Vulcans,
yeah,
then the Vulcans wouldn't have been able to hold back technology.
Yeah.
So they're probably a little bit further along.
Yeah, because they basically is, you know, conquer and basically what
what the Borg do, just sloppy.
Well, they kind of do what the ancestors do. You know, you occupy a country, steal their resources.
Yeah, it's colonization never ended.
Yeah. So
that's a terrifying sentence that I just said.
So if you're trying to figure out how this would have happened, just think MAGA running the, you know, taking over everything.
Jesus Christ.
So it opens up with apparently, because this device is shown in the TOS. Oh, I think it's used in Discovery too. The Agonizer booth is apparently a new invention created by fucking Phlox and Reed, which I was like,
I know it was used in Discovery. I don't remember.
It was used in TOS because I remember they had because Chekhov tried to commit a mutiny and it failed and he was put in the Agonizer booth.
Now we know who invented it.
Right. Now we know who invented it. Yeah. Good job, Phlox.
Wasn't it Reed?
I thought it was Phlox and Reed.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. At this point, Archer isn't in command. He's the first officer, and Maximilian Forrest is the captain of it, which I thought was actually kind of cool to bring him back because I kind of thought his death in the main universe was a little shitty.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
But you bring him back in this one, and it's kind of the Tasha Yar thing. Like they gave her kind of a shitty death in the main one and then bring her back and then give her a better death, you know, which didn't deal with rape gangs and all that stuff. So
rape gangs in itself aren't funny. Her storyline was. I just want to put that out there. I'm not laughing at the notion of a rape gang.
Right. You know. But anyway, so they're demonstrating it on a Tellarite officer. And it was funny because he's like, what did he do? I don't know. He was probably late for his shift or something. I was like, Jesus.
Aren't Tellarites always guilty of something? I said, damn, that racism, bro.
I was like, damn, Reed. So, you know, Archer isn't totally in on it, but the Captain Forrest seems to be all for it.
Yeah.
So they leave him into the corridor, and basically Archer reminds the captain about a venture into Tholian space of news he received about a technology that would help the Terran Empire against a rebellion, which if you ever watch any of the Mirror Universe, there's always a rebellion. There's always some rebellion that they need to put down.
And we think of the Nazis, right, in real history.
Yeah.
Their whole government would fall apart if there wasn't someone to fight.
That's true.
It's war needs to keep happening, which is like, that's eventually you're not going to have anyone to fight anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, Forrest wants to help, you know, help that, but he's not keen on the plan of going into Tholian space. And Archer kind of exerts some, like, you know, hey, this, you know, this could work. And he's like, you know, and then I think Forrest says something about, like, you know, you just, you know, you want this glory, you know, to get this item, bring it back, and everybody would be singing Archer's praise, swinging their dicks for Archer, that kind of shit. And, you know, and so he says that, so he's trying to kibosh his thing, and then he gives him that line of, like, going, you're either going to go to the bridge or you're going to go to the Agnity booth. You decide. I was like, okay.
Well, I guess I'm going to the fucking bridge.
It would have been funny if Archer goes, I'll be in the booth. Make it extra hard.
Yeah.
Like going, damn.
I fucking like it.
Give it the way I want it.
You like, fucking bitch. Like, holy shit.
So in the episode that literally stopped me in my tracks, or in the scene that stopped me in my tracks, Forrest is reviewing some work in his quarters. And I don't know how or why he would be doing that when Hoshi is in his quarters in like this black, like negligee kind of thing. And I'm like, why are you at the computer, bro?
What are you doing?
Yeah. It reminded me of that that SNL skit that I sent you about with Selena Gomez, where it was about sending men out to do their own shopping.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, it's like, she goes, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking something else. Like, watch. Hey, honey, do you want to have sex? But it's light outside. You know, it's like, what are you doing, dude? It's Selena Gomez. What are you doing? Come on, man.
You watch this shit pissed off. What the fuck are you doing?
I literally got pissed off when I saw that. I was like, what the fuck?
Drop the fucking address right now. I'm going to show up.
Exactly. But yeah, so apparently she's the captain's woman. And God damn. I mean.
Listen, I was lost for words. I could think. I couldn't breathe. I don't know what the fuck was
this,
going on.
This is feminism at its height. Like, to me, that's feminism. Like, I'm like, oh, you know, I get it.
It's definitely something.
So.
The thing is I've seen this episode. I completely forgot about this part.
Me too, because I've seen this too, and I only think about the fight between her and T'Pol in part two.
Yeah, it's in the second episode.
Yeah, and all of a sudden I've seen her in this, and I'm like, what? Like, I told Adam before the show, I was like, I'm sitting here watching, and all of a sudden I saw her in that, I'm like, oh!
To be honest, I was laying in bed watching this.
Yeah, I bet you were.
And and I sat up. Like, I was like, what? I was taken aback.
So she, you know, so we get a little insight into what's going on. And, you know, she said that they're, you know, quashed this rebellion in Tau Ceti. And, you know, Forrest basically tells her, it sounds like you were listening to some propaganda there.
Yeah.
And basically find out that they're not doing so well. And because she had made plans to say that once the war's over, she can go back to teaching. Apparently, she's still teaching students in Brazil. And he would
what she's teaching. They don't say.
Exactly. They don't say on that one.
Pole dancing or something.
And then Forrest would take a comfortable desk job at Starfleet headquarters. But yeah,
and
so
we'd have the weekends.
Yeah, we have the weekends. I mean, like going, you'd have 48 hours. It's like of straight. Like we would not be seeing sunlight. That's what.
Yeah, for real.
But he tells her that, you know, don't tell the crew this, you know, this is just, you know, between you and me. And then she's like, well, she calls this like his safe place or something like that. And proceeds to see to me, like Forrest getting Hoshi is kind of like them going like, we want to bring you back for this episode. Like, yeah, but you killed me off. And he's like, yeah, but you're going to have Hoshi as your, okay. So,
I'm good.
What time do you need me to be there?
He pulled up.
Yeah. I'm early. I know I'm early. So
well, the way they play this is that she kind of is one of the perks of the ship. Like if you're the captain, then you're also the captain. You understand what I'm saying?
You're the captain, but you're also daddy.
It's that's like, right. She comes with that position.
It's like when they toured when they toured the ship, like they go, this is your quarters, this is your personal kitchen, your personal chef, your personal bodyguard, and your personable hoe. Like you can't, it's like this.
And Hoshi Sato, what? Rex, that one real quick.
So like in the next scene, though, like Forrest gets taken down, not taken down like physically, like killed or something like that. He basically becomes the subject of a mutiny. Archer and Reed and Mayweather basically. Oh, and Mayweather isn't like the pilot. He's Mako along with Reed. They're not quote unquote security or engineering or something like that. No, they're Makos.
Obviously a stronger military presence.
Yeah.
You see a lot more Makos in the background, actually.
Yeah.
In the Mirror Universe.
So they basically take over the ship and then put Forrest in the brig. And then fucking Reed was all like bloodlust and shit. He's like, well, you know, accidents happen on the way to the.
Yeah.
And then Archer gets him right in the throat and is like, going, if anything happens to him, you're going to be in that, what do you say? to something
the booth you invented or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. So then we get to the bridge, and T'Pol is sitting in that chair like fucking Harley Quinn, like that, the way she's just like lounging in that fucking captain's chair. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it. I think way more midriff than even any designer would be like. It's like, where did the breast start? Okay, we'll put the end seam here. And where does like...
Yo, you saw like when she walked, you saw her hips actuating.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
I was like, they went literally as low. But we have to remember, this is the era of the low-rise jeans.
Right. Mid-2000s.
They went all the way low. I was like, how low can you go?
If it was comic book drawing, like you would have seen like the G-string straps around the like upper thighs, you know, like right below the waist.
God bless.
God, I miss those days. So she comes up on the bridge with...
Hey, shut up.
And my dog's a female, so she's probably good. I'm sensing a lot of misogyny here.
A lot of bullshit getting said today.
And so Archer arrives with the Makos and on the bridge. And it was funny because I saw, you know, T'Pol, which she's not wearing. She doesn't have the little short hair wig. She actually has her real hair hanging down. And that basic midriff, with you look at her midriff. And same thing with Hoshi. And you're like, oh, you've been to the gym.
Like, yeah, the abs were right.
Right. And I didn't.
And it wasn't even a weird, like, drooling over. It was like, oh, okay, I see you putting in work.
It, and it was funny, too, because, like, when they came in and I saw her, and then I saw, like, a bunch of other people on there. And then I noticed, I go, oh, there's a chick in the background. Does she? And then I saw, like, her at midriff. I was like, oh, okay. So all the chicks have the midriffs. Okay, cool. I'm just, you know, making sure we're not just, you know, sexualizing T'Pol.
Right.
Excuse me. Let me wipe this drool a little bit. He basically tells her that he's taking control, and then he puts a shipwide communique, and it's cool because like you see everybody, so you see like, you know, Archer says that he took the bridge, so you get to see an image of Trip, you know, who's all scarred up on one side of his face, Phlox, who has this petnarium in the Prime universe. He dissects all his pets in this.
Oh my God, the horrific scenes where they keep cutting to him. Yeah. There was one where he was dissecting a lizard. You could see the heart still beating. I was like, why'd you turn him into a monster?
And then, of course, Hoshi's listening to lying in bed in that same negligee. I'm like, you know, there's a lot of scenes in this where I just want to freeze and just kind of keep that as my screensaver, you know? Or my wallpaper, basically. And I'm not talking about on my computer. I mean, like, in my room.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know. So he basically, he claims he's taking the ship over as order of Starfleet because they have a secretive mission into Tholian space, and that...
secret mission in outer space. Yeah. Let's go.
So he assures the crew that, you know, if the mission's successful, you know, they'll be able to crush all the rebellions all at once. And so after he gets that, T'Pol starts like, I didn't get any messages, you know, basically saying that she's kind of watching him. And he just kind of was like, yeah, shut up. He tells her, he orders her to go install this Suliban cloaking device that they need for this ship or for this mission. Sorry. So now we get to the captain's ready room. And T'Pol is not quite as eager to accept Archer in command.
Yeah, she doesn't look too happy about it.
Plus the fact that he's holding a fucking shotgun right in his head. He's like, you know where this came from? Shot the first fucking Vulcan.
It's not even that. He's holding the shotgun, but then he's like, this is the first bullet shot out this gun to fuck your people. What's up?
Yeah, he basically kind of gives a little bit of the narrative that the Vulcan's arrival on Earth was part of a invasion, which I'm not sure is true, you know, but, you know.
They viewed it as an invasion.
They viewed it as an invasion, and they stormed it, and they basically, I guess I'm assuming, co-opted their materials and just basically invaded Vulcan and subjugated them, which he eventually brought up as what actually happened to the Prime universe, because God knows how long, you know, you would have kept this technology from us, you know, so you're kind of like, oh, okay, so they co-opted all the stuff from the Vulcans and basically put them underfoot, which was something interesting in this episode. We saw a lot of Vulcan crew members as opposed to, like, you know, just one Vulcan on the ship. But
I think they're like a
subjugated race.
Yeah, subjugated class, basically.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, that's how the mirror universe is. It's always humans then everybody else.
Right. And so in this one, we basically find out that Archer is putting her in second in command, and so that Reed wouldn't be too happy about it. But, you know, he tells her why he puts her as first officer. Oh, because Reed has ambitions. That was why. I was trying to remember.
Oh, yeah, because he doesn't trust Reed.
Yeah, he doesn't trust Reed. And I wouldn't trust Reed either, to be honest with you. Yeah.
No.
Somebody's just a little too eager there. So, you know, we go back to Archer's cabin, and we find out that Archer promotes Mayweather to be his personal guard. And when he's like, you know, I want to, you know, say I'm impressed by by the mutiny and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He starts kind of sucking, you know, Archer's dick a little bit. He's like, you already got the promotion. Let's not.
Like, calm down.
Like, not ruin it with words.
She was funny.
And then Porthos is I couldn't tell.
A Rottweiler now.
It looked like it was a Rottweiler. Yeah. I was like, God damn, Porthos, what the fuck happened there?
Porthos, you all right?
Oh, man.
Doesn't look like a fun dog to hang out with anymore.
But then he says, what did he say? He goes, it's all right. He hasn't had dinner yet. You're like, Jesus So then Hoshi's brought in to the captain's quarters. And in this part, we find out that apparently they had some type of relationship. Because he gave up, I guess he gave her up for ambition, and you know, now she's trying to make her good graces into the. Well, first she wonders about what happened to Forrest, because she's like, is he still alive? And then he shows her on the monitor, and then she's like, I want to talk to him. He's like, eh, not yet. So then he's basically, you know, she basically works her way in becoming the captain's woman, and then like a typical hood rat pulls a knife on the motherfucker while they're kissing, and then he goes and grabs her. What does he say? Grabs her arm, and then like says, "Why don't we just make this a professional relationship or something like that?"
Yeah, there's a lot of foreplay going on.
Yeah,
in that office.
And then you know, T'Pol calls down to the ship and says that they found the warp signature that he told T'Pol to look for, and Archer tells her that, you know, she should be in that Hoshi should be in a better mood when he gets back. So,
because taking a do something, basically, is what he's
saying. Basically, what he's saying. He's like, you know, I don't want this to be rape, but if it has to, it has to. That's what Archer's basically saying.
Like, something's going to happen when I get back, whether you're into it or not. So I, you know,
into it Jesus, or not.
They really do. Like they do good in these mirror universes where the mirror episodes, where it shows like it's kind of comic-y evil, but then there's always a little bit of hint of real evil shit going on in the background too.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh fuck.
So the Enterprise drops out of warp and a Tholian ship, basically attacks them, and Archer tells Reed to disable the ship because Reed kind of gets a little like butt hurt because he's like, you know, like what I want, you know, he basically wants to kill, destroy this thing. But yeah. Archer wants the pilot alive, and they don't know why. Like they don't know why he wants him alive. So Reed disables it. But then the ship starts to go on overload. And then the look Archer gave to Reed, and Reed's like, yo, dude, I targeted its weapons. Like, I didn't do shit. And then T'Pol comes in like, well, it's possible the ship could have had a self-destruct. And he's like, eh. So he beams him over, and then the ship blows up, and then he puts him in the
deep. He wanted to put someone in that punishment booth. That's why he was upset.
Yeah. He was like, oh, give me a reason. So he, they put the Tholian into the decon chamber, and he tells Phlox to get ready to interrogate the Tholian. Now, in this, we've never seen it. The Tholian, I think, in TOS was only showed in the head, but it was like a distorted background, so you really couldn't see it. But we never saw a body, and I think this is the first and only time we see a whole body of a Tholian.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you the truth. The design of the Tholian was good, but the special effects were not very great.
It's 2005.
Yeah, I mean, I give him a break, but it looked really silly.
Somebody
but definitely not not a humanoid race.
Right, six legs. So, I think it was something like a six legged.
I thought it was four. I think six is right though.
So the senior staff. Now we're in Act Two. So seasoned staff is gathering around the decon chamber, and Archer tries to talk and has Hoshi there because, of course, she's a cunning linguist. Mm-hmm.
it's really good with that tongue.
Yeah, and he basically tries to, you know, interrogate the Tholian, but then the Tholian makes a couple of, you know.
Talk shit about his mom.
I know. He's like talking about your ancestor or something, like your female.
Your maternal ancestors. I didn't know fucking Tholians were with that street shit, bro. Like, fuck you. I fucked your mom last night, motherfucker.
What would have been cool is if they actually had an audible translation and you just hear the Tholian going, "We about this life, motherfucker."
You think I give a fuck about this?
I don't care. I'll do another dime, motherfucker. I'll take this shit.
He's a Tholians.
you're Tholians.
Tholians mount up. It's like, what the fuck?
It's like he's crip walking.
For real. With all six of those legs. Oh my God. By the way, this is completely off topic. You say crip walking. I laughed. Did you see the clip from when Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg were doing the commentary for the Olympics, and they showed the horse that was sidestepping.
Oh yeah.
It's just like, he crip walking, cuz. Yeah. Yep, he from the set. Kevin Hart started laughing so fucking hard, dude.
I remember that. Yeah, I saw that. I remember when it came
started
out.
And he literally on like national television started throwing up fucking signs. I was like, bro. Only Snoop can get away with doing that.
Oh fuck
shit.
Yeah! Oh fuck yeah! So while the Tholian is trying to be about that life, they decide to start lowering the temperature to make him.
He wasn't
more...
trying; he was succeeding.
Yeah, yeah. He did it before. He talked some shit. Did it again, and then he's like, "All right. You got me." So.
He said, no, wait. Let me tell you something.
So as they're trying to talk to him and stuff like that, he eventually admits to the coordinates of this item. They never actually specifically name what this is yet, and the facility. And he gives it up, and then he starts transmitting a distress signal. So Archer basically has Phlox knock him out, but keep him alive because he may need him for later. So this one, in this next scene in engineering, T'Pol does my dude wrong, dude.
For real.
T'Pol is installing the cloak in engineering, and Trip kind of, you know, face a little fucked up, is watching T'Pol install this thing. And I liked where he talks about, you know, that he got delta rays and, you know, that disfigured him. He's like, if you stand next to the warp engine long enough, he goes, or no, it was the delta rays. He's like, I got enough delta rays in me that I guaranteed my children are going to glow in the dark. I rolled on that one.
You know what's funny too is to me that the whole it being dangerous to be in there in the mirror universe kind of was a throwback to like Soviet Russia's space program.
Yeah.
Where the safety just wasn't there. Yeah. They were just launching motherfuckers into space.
And so it was, it's funny too, because in this universe, Trip and T'Pol kind of had a liaison a couple of times, it appears, because of the Ponfar.
Yeah.
And
when's that Ponfar coming around again? It's like he was thirsting, bro.
He's like going, so that's like every 7 hours, right? It's like it's every 7 hours we gotta do that, right?
And it's like, I got you back. I'm here for you,
But as she's trying to install it, there's an overload that happens, and it damages the cloaking device and shocks Tucker. And then Archer and Reed later on are talking about the incident that happened, and Archer prioritizes the repair of the cloaking device, but Malcolm is like kind of suspicious about the overload, and says that it seems a little interesting, that it would blow up or blah blah blah. So he's like, I want to investigate, and then Tripp's like, he goes, my team will investigate. I don't need your people pulling shit.
Like, fuck your team.
What's funny in this episode too is that, you have Archer and you have Trip and Malcolm in the foreground talking about this, and in the background you see T'Pol kind of just like, not doing anything, but kind of listening as to what's going on. And I was reading in the production notes that she had some concerns about her character being in the scene, but not saying anything. But the writers were like, yeah, but I think it would have been better you in the scene watching as opposed to talking. You're doing more of an observing, in the scene, which I was like, yeah, it kind of works better because you notice her, but like in things you don't have to say anything unless somebody just wanted more lines. And so you're a line counter and going, well, I only have this many lines. And then somebody
gets paid for how much I speak. And I really, I got rent's coming up.
Then somebody goes, this is Scott Bakula's show, bitch.
I mean, they ain't wrong.
But this is Hoshi's episode.
This is Hoshi's episode. This episode and next episode, all Hoshi. This is the whole Hoshi fucking arc.
Oh, it's an arc, all right.
Jesus Christ.
So, in the brig, Archer basically says, he wants to know who the saboteur is, because apparently this part here was reminiscent to me of Hunt for Red October. If you've ever seen that movie, on the Russian sub, there was I think a KGB agent. I'm not sure if it was KGB. It might be another branch in there, but there was a spy on the ship to watch how everything goes. And I remember in that scene, Sean Connery, before he comes to Musi, talks to his military advisor or military officer and asks him if he knows. And he goes, do you think if the government knew, they would tell me? He's like, I'm in the dark as it is. So that's what kind of this scene reminded me of, because Archer knows that Starfleet puts in a spy. And, he figures that Forrest knows who it is.
Right.
So he basically says, he doesn't know. And I like in this one, because he tells Mayweather to go, Forrest tells Archer that, he's going to get arrested and court-martialed, but he won't be killed really easily. And he goes, but will, may not be it's the same for all the officers that follow you. And he looks at Mayweather, and then Archer tells Mayweather to search the captain's quarters for any messages to Starfleet. And then he goes, I, and then he looks right at Maxwell and goes, captain, like kind of like a dig, like, fuck you, bitch. I know which way the wind's blowing.
Yeah, for real. That's the thing that's a running theme in all Mirror Universe episodes is that everyone's just fucking looking for the upper hand. And you kind of see how societies like that fall apart.
Well, it's funny because it kind of reminds me of Klingons, because doesn't that how you get promoted in Klingon culture?
They're not evil about it, but yeah, it's all about like fucking you're not worthy.
Right.
The Klingons are more like that. You're less worthy than me.
Yeah, because if you don't do something, then you're insulted the Empire or something like that. Or
it's
you're
an
not
honor
worthy.
Thing for them. But so, I mean, I think the humans in the Mirror Universe pretend like it's an honor thing. It really isn't.
No, it's definitely not.
Much like real humanity.
But it's so they have, so Archer and Forrest have a, you know, little kerfluffle. Because remember he puts Forrest in that chokehold, and then he pulls out that knife, like
some G shit.
Yeah. And then he leaves him in there, and then they head to the Situation Room on the bridge, and then they said that they found evidence about the saboteur, and it was Trip. Not Trip! No!
Da, 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 da.
So Trip ends up in the fucking agony booth, and,
he's really a sad sack in the Mirror Universe.
He really is. And he basically,
he did bang T'Pol, though, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take the good with the bad, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Trip denies that he had anything to do with it, and he fucking threatens Reed like anything. He's like, "I can't wait to put you in here." Archer thinks that Trip is the Admiral's spy.
Yeah,
but Tucker's like, no, I'm not. So he tells Reed to basically just keep interrogating him. What does he say? He says, break him. I think he says, like, break him.
Sorry.
What?
This is that song, Break Him.
Oh, yeah. So in the captain's quarters, fucking Archer hit that shit. Damn. Like, you got kind of like a, you got to like respect him for that. You're like, oh, damn. And then, of course, she's like, going, oh, my
Listen,
God.
Good for him. Good for her. Okay. Come on.
Yeah. And then, of course, she's over there like, going, oh, it's never been that good. It's like,
shut up, bitch. <It's> like, blowing smoke up my ass.
It's like, did you get bigger? Did you get longer? Like, oh my God. Like
she had the hand and the chest hair, it's the whole Leonidas scene. You know what I mean? Like he's the king of his own domain.
So, he basically admits that Archer basically admits that he sent some information to the fleet admiral just as insurance. And I was like, that's smart. That's smart. Keep yourself from getting killed. At least it providing Starfleet goes with it. But he starts to suspect.
Are they called Starfleet in the Mirror Universe?
I think, yeah, because I think she said Starfleet.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I just don't remember.
Yeah. And then Archer starts putting two and two together, and he figures out, fucking T'Pol. That fucking bitch.
That fucking hoe.
That pointed eared. So he tries to locate, this is funny too, because he tries to locate T'Pol and it's like internal sensors are offline, but it's a man's voice.
I noticed that too. Yeah. Misogyny. The real evil.
Yeah, the real, the patriarchy, the true evil. So doesn't even fucking put shoes on, goes John McClane style, like puts on a shirt, heads out, then realizes he forgot his pants and then puts his pants on and then heads out.
Oh, no, it's not called Starfleet because they're called the Terran Empire. So they always say the Empire.
Mm.
They don't say Starfleet. I looked it up because it was bothering me.
Of all the things, that's the one that bothers you. So T'Pol, with fucking Vulcans at her side, goes ahead and tries to do a mutiny to release the captain. fucking Archer pops out of the turbo lift as they're because he says, like, what took you so long? She's like, well, I had to, you know, take everything offline. And then T'Pol fucking or Archer pops out of the fucking turbo lift. Papa, bitch. And then Forrest and T'Pol take back the bridge, which was funny because it was like, I didn't know there were walkways on near the view screen.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, because all of a sudden I saw one. I'm like, why does everybody use the turbo lift then? Like, if you have, like, walkways.
Cool. We make a little entrance, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Because they...
Boom, bitches! Door slides open.
Because it was like, they all popped out. I was like, surprise, motherfucker! And basically shot up everybody. And then I love how Archer comes into the bridge with his hands up. He's like, going, yo, yo, yo.
Hold on. Let me explain.
Yeah. It's like, and he's like, you're in command now, Captain. Like, going, Jesus, dude. So we go into Act 3, and Archer is in the agony booth. Archer looks like he's having a good time in that booth because Phlox goes like 10 hours.
He kind of did, didn't he?
Yeah. Phlox is like, 10 hours? That's impressive.
Seems like Mirror Universe Archer's just as stubborn as the main universe.
It was weird, though, when every time they zapped him, he kept going,
wrong booth.
He's screaming out, ow! So he basically, the captain is forced to release Archer from the booth because the fleet admiral is intrigued by the shit he sent him.
Right.
And then what was it? He wanted to put Reed in that booth. I remember hearing him say something about putting Reed in there. But he says that he's so Archer's kind of protected at this point because if anything happens to Archer, you know, Forrest is going to be up Schitt's Creek. So he basically tells him to clean up and he has a briefing with senior staff in an hour. So now we get to the crux of the episode, what the whole fucking point is. So apparently Archer reveals that there is a starship 100 years in the future in Tholian space in their universe, but it is from a different reality. And of course, T'Pol goes and is like, the science directorate claims that there's no proof of. It's like, bitch, you know, you guys said the same thing about time travel.
Y'all stay wrong.
So apparently the Tholians were testing some sort of device or something like that created a rift, of course, because it's Star Trek, that opened an unstable portion of space. And apparently, now this actually kind of, because I haven't watched the Tholian web in a while, but it kind of seems to kind of clear up a little bit of a plot hole because the Defiant just goes into that space and phases in and out or whatever. But apparently the Tholians, what did they say? Put out a signal to see if something would come through to prove it. And that's
a distress signal to try to lure something to it.
Yeah. And that's where the Defiant from TOS era shows up and they've captured the Defiant and they're basically, they have it in one of their bases.
Isn't there a TOS episode where they go to find the Defiant and they find it like halfway hanging out of a rift or something?
Yeah, that's the Tholian web. That's when we first get introduced to the Tholians. And that's where Kirk kind of fades in and out because he didn't get to beam out of the Defiant. So he shows up and then they finally beam him back. But yeah, that's a good episode. I really like that episode. Yeah.
So you technically, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you could watch TOS's Tholian web, then this one.
Yeah.
Right after it.
Yeah, you can do that.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Providing you haven't watched it yet. And if you're one of those like, well, the TOS special effects is... Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I haven't seen all of TOS. When I was a kid, not an adult, when I was a kid, I was like, these special effects are kind of shitty. But then as an adult and a true Star Trek fan, you appreciate the storytelling. Okay.
Yeah. Because that's what it was about.
That's right.
So it's funny, too, because I remember T'Pol starts, you know, calling bullshit on all his stuff and stuff like that. And then fucking Forrest goes like, shut up. Tells her to shut up. I was like, damn. So he basically says that, you know, so they're going to investigate the ship. And he tells Trip to get working on the cloaking device, you know, before, because Trip was kind of, was also, everybody was all sorts of like, this is bullshit. But basically, they have their orders. So in engineering, Trip confronts T'Pol about what happened with the blowing up, because they said that he was in it. And he's like, blames her. And she's like, was it me? And it was so fucking like, oh, you bitch. You did him fucking so dirty in this one. Fucking.
Dude, I was almost shocked. Like, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. So she basically, what happens is that she lures him to his cabin with the pretense of getting dirty and mind melds with him.
Wouldn't it be cool if they had a little scene where he comes in, he goes, is Hoshi in here? Oh.
And he's like, oh, I guess you'll do.
It's like, well, we're here, so. He's so fucked up.
Throws his hands up like, oh well. All right, I haven't had anything in about a couple of months, so fuck it. So basically, we find out that she mind melds with him and basically puts in, what does she call it? She called it like a, like,
cause psychic suggestion.
Yeah, psychic suggestion to basically fuck with the conduit. Then when he came back, she mind melded with him again to forget everything that happened. And oh man, he was like, I was like, bro, I would have just punched her right in the face. I wouldn't have given a fuck, like, at that point, because spending that long in the fucking agony booth, nah. And he didn't even get none. Like, that's the thing.
I know. It's just such a sad sack, bro. Like,
So he calls to the bridge and tells them that the cloak is ready. So they go ahead and engage, and then the ship kind of does the little, you know, Christmas tree light overload kind of thing for a second, and then everything stabilizes. So T'Pol's on the bridge. So we go back to the bridge, and T'Pol's there and says that the Enterprise has reached its destination. And everybody figures it was, you know, what was it? It was like bullshit. Like, they were like, nothing was going to happen. You know, like, going, oh, you know, it's not going to be there, blah, blah, blah. And then they show, he hits the, you know, tells her to magnify this section. And it comes up that, yeah, there's a dry dock built into, look like a piece of asteroid. And it was the Constitution class USS Defiant.
Which is basically a copy. It's the same exact class as the Enterprise.
Yeah,
TOS. It's
Constitution class. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And it would have been funny when they showed it and you get this, duh, 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 duh.
Well, the cool thing is, I thought it was, well, of course, you know, it's because of the episode, the TOS episode, but it was nice that it wasn't, it was just, it looked like the Enterprise. I just thought that was kind of cool because it gave you a weird, because the next episode is so fucking crazy to watch because they look so out of place. It's so funny.
To the next episode. And so now we go into Act 4. So T'Pol briefing everyone, tells them that the Defiant systems, even life support, are all powered down, and that the life forms that they have are non-human, and one's reptilian. So I'm trying to figure out what's the reptilian one. Is it the Gorn?
I would think so, because that's the only reptilian race I can think of.
And so there was like, they said, according to this, says 13 non-humans and including one reptilian. So Trip was kind of almost jerking off a little bit to the end. He was like, look at those cores. I bet that thing can do like warp 7 easy. I was like, okay, calm down, dude. So Forrest basically tells them to go, that they need to go to the ship. And when he says just like download the databanks and then destroy the ship. And and Archer's like, what? Like, fuck. Archer's whole purpose was to get that ship, steal it, and then use that. Because
Archer, I think Forrest is thinking with long game. Like, we just need the information from the ship and we can reproduce that technology.
Right.
But Archer's more like, fuck that. That shit's sitting there right now.
Yeah, we just power it up and then we can destroy the rebellion and I can be a hero.
Yeah.
But, you know, Forrest basically shoots him down and then says, like, you know, all right, you know, you lead an assault team. But he tells Archer that he's going to lead the assault team. And then, of course, we do this part, which is actually a subplot of Beverly Hills Cop 2, where Forrest tells T'Pol to join the assault team, but make sure Archer doesn't come back from the assault team. Yeah. Which is funny.
It's so every scene and every moment in this episode is someone trying to fuck over somebody else.
Yeah.
And I love it. I'm fucking here for it. It's so crazy, bro.
And what's funny, why I mentioned Beverly Hills Cop 2, because in Beverly Hills Cop 2, Bridget Nelson is assigned to basically in that it's a group of people that are robbing places following the alphabet. It's called the alphabet robberies. But the dude that gets fucked over, the one that is in Archer's place in that movie, Dean Stockwell. It's Al. I thought that was kind of funny. I was like, oh, in my mind did this mental gymnastics to kind of raise, like, oh shit, they're doing to him what they did to Al. So
you also don't ever feel the need to explain yourself when mentioning a cinematic masterpiece.
Of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. So they beam over to the Defiant, and Mayweather's also part of this team, and they notice that the Tholians are gutting the ship. And they also come across a dead security officer lying with a phaser. And I love how fucking Archer picks it up, looks at it, and then reads like, you want me to hold that for you? I was like, fuck you, motherfucker.
Hey, hell no, bitch.
And Archer puts it in his belt.
Yo, Reed's kind of fucking creepy, dude, in the Mirror Universe.
It was so funny when he said that. He's like, you want me to hold that for you? I expect Archer to be like, fuck you.
So you can hold this dick.
Just hold your dick. Let's just keep it at that. So on the Enterprise, the Tholian pilot wakes up. And they find that the sedative that they used to keep him down isn't working anymore, and he's transmitting the signal. And they detect the signal on the bridge, but what ends up... So Forrest is, like, trying to shut him up because it's gaining attention from the Tholians, who are launching ships to intercept the Enterprise. So he tells them to basically kill it, and then Phlox gets this, like, yeah.
He's like, with pleasure.
The way it
killed. It was taking a minute. He's like, just die. And I was like, Jesus Christ. They really made this motherfucker crazy.
And then when it dies, it just like almost like blew up. Like it just kind of like shattered into pieces. So it kind of made me wonder, like, how were they killing it? Were they just depressurizing?
I think it kind of looked like to me that the Tholians are like a crystalline entity. Like they're not carbon based.
Yeah.
So they probably stay. Because it said they had to be at like 400 Kelvin or something,
yeah.
Which they probably stay molten, and then if you cool them off, molten would crack because it was hard. It would harden and crack. That's just me being a nerd, but it also makes sense.
Right. So you're welcome. But it makes sense to me. I'll go with it.
Thank you.
So back on the Defiant, the team makes their way to the bridge, which still I'm not exactly sure how they use the turbo lift. Because there's supposed to be no power on that ship. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure there were tachyons involved or something, or there was an EPS conduit that they just...
The turbo lift is actually doesn't require power, because what a lot of people don't know is the TOS turbo lifts functioned much like the pipe system at the bank, where the thing goes through the tube. It really just needs pressurized gas. It's not. It's not. It doesn't require electricity.
Oh, and I thought I did mental gymnastics on the last bit.
I'm the king of mental gymnastics. What are you talking about?
So they, when they get onto the bridge, they find two dead officers, one with their hands around the captain's throat.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because they said earlier that they all went insane.
Yeah.
Started trying to kill each other.
Yeah. And
they said that on the TOS episode too, yeah. Didn't they?
Yeah. Well, that was the TOS.
I need to watch that. I don't think I've seen Tholian Webb.
Yeah, it's a good episode.
I need to watch it
because I think it started to actually affect the crew, because Spock was in command of the Enterprise because Kirk was lost in this one. So yeah, so I think that was. I gotta rewatch that one too. So they find out that the captain has a broken neck. So. Archer tells Trip.
I think he died from this.
I think his neck was broken. I think this guy broke his neck. So Archer tells Trip to get basically turn the power on, flip the switch. So four more Tholian ships actually approach the Enterprise, and Forrest tries to withdraw, but. They actually start. They jammed the frequency. Oh, because they tried to call the Defiant, and they jammed the frequencies, and then all of a sudden the ships start forming their web. So it makes it impossible for the Enterprise to bail. So
that's a cool little fucking weapon too. Yeah,
I forgot that whenever it's hit by phaser blast, it constricts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that little bit. That is a cool little trick. So they actually get, and so Trip actually gets power to the Defiant. I loved it when he's like going, "Can you get the?" He's like, "Can you get the power on faster?" He's like, "You want to do it?"
Yeah, yeah. Something I would say. Bro.
That was like nice.
Be my guess, bitch. Like, what the fuck?
And so the system allows T'Pol to find out what's going on with Enterprise, and they're. And the Tholians are firing on the ship, on Enterprise, and Enterprise can't do anything because their weapons can't penetrate the shield. And every time they hit the shield constricts. So Forrest actually gives the command to abandon ship, but Forrest stays at the helm. And this is where Hoshi comes running over in that goddamn sexy outfit. Jeez. Goes and tells him, "What are you doing?" And then he's like, "I'm just going to buy you more time." And tells her to bail. She kind of looked like she was ready to ride or die with him.
Yeah, she really did.
Yeah.
And that made her hotter.
Yeah, it did. Because you're like, all right, that's the kind of girl. See, the thing was is that it seemed to make that persona was too comfortable for her. So it made me wonder, like, is she really like that?
Some wishful thinking going on.
Hey, it's my fantasy. I can do what I want. So... Archer orders the Defiant weapons and engines to be brought back online, and Reed and Mayweather help to try to start the engines, and or to help move the dead officers from the command chair. But Enterprise launches escape pods, and it's kind of funny because, like, when you noticed when they were launched, when they went through the beams, they like blew up. I thought that was kind of cool. It's like you see some of them making through the web, but some that went through the beams and was just like, pff, I was like, damn. Forrest keeps the helm of the, is basically at the helm. And then the web just kind of constricts short enough that it actually blows up the Enterprise. Cause I forgot that the Enterprise was kind of cloaked. I forgot it was still cloaked.
Yeah, it was cloaked, but they knew where they were.
Yeah. And then the cloaking failed, and then the Enterprise showed up, and then it was just like, ba-boom.
Yeah, and they said, bye-bye, Enterprise.
Yeah, and then everybody on the Defiant Bridge just stood there watching, and then it was, da-da-da-da, da-da-da,
da-da-da-da-da.
And that is to be continued.
It's a good episode.
definitely is.
It's people like to give the Mirror Universe episode shit. They go, oh, they're so campy. It's like, yeah, but that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
You know, Scott Bakula described the two-parter as a favorite episode of his in an interview with Sci-Fi Wire. John Billingsley and Connor Trinneer were not fans of the two-parter. Billingsley called the episode banal. What does that mean again?
Kind of banal means like just kind of pointless. Like,
yeah, okay. Yeah. And Trinneer described them as pandering, while in the same interview, Dominic Keaton described them as good fun. That's because fucking Trinneer played a pathetic fucking loser. That's probably why he didn't like it.
And he had prosthetic.
Oh, wait, shut up. Linda Park, who had a subsequent role in the two-parter as the self-proclaimed Empress Sato, has said, quote, I think it's well known that those are my favorite episodes, end quote.
God bless America.
That's right. Following the success of the two-part
episode. Hoshi in this episode is why other countries hate us.
For real. You know what I like? You know what I like is progressively throughout this, we're about to end Enterprise. We're actually ending a series in this podcast. This would be the first one we've ended because I think we stopped like midway through. Not even midway through TNG.
We got into the early part of season three when we first did it.
Right. And this whole series on Enterprise has just been progressively creepier towards Linda Park. Like, and honestly, this episode was the worst. But in our defense, she was showing a hell of a lot more this episode. Not saying she was asking for it, I'm just saying. And last but not least, following the success of the two-parter episode, Sussman contributed the story for a sequel novella, Age of the Empress, published as part of the first in the series Mirror Universe anthology trade paperback. I'm gonna have to pick that up.
I
know, too.
I have to see that. Do they have pictures? Is what I want to know.
Well, you know what I love
about Star Trek? Or do they go into intense detail of what you
did? You know what I love about Star Trek books? They're such a quick read. They're just fun.
Yeah.
You know, I just read the last one I read was The Debtor? What the fuck was it called? Hold on. I'm gonna find out. Star Trek, the
I'm glad Linda Park doesn't listen to this podcast. At first, she'd probably be like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then afterwards, she's like, I think I should get a restraining order.
Listen, if Linda Park ever listens, this is all jokes, but we are a big admirer of your work. And maybe I had a crush on you when I was younger. It's not a big deal. Because listen, in my defense, I was a teenager when the show came out.
I really did too.
I was the only one in my friend group that watched Star Trek. I would come and go, y'all see Enterprise? And like, you know, we didn't. I'm like,
you missing out. Park.
You're missing listen, out. Y'all fucking up.
Yeah, I remember like a lot of people were like, oh yeah, T'Pol. And I was like, actually Hoshi's kind of doing it for me. You know, I was always kind of I was more into her than I was into T'Pol. Now don't get me wrong, T'Pol was sexy, yeah. You know.
T'Pol is not a slouch.
Yeah.
See, they're different, you know, and I don't even know why we're classifying this, but they're different kinds of hot. So there's the unobtainable model-esque hot.
Right.
And that's where T'Pol sits, the actress that plays T'Pol.
Right.
And then there's like girl next door, I would take this woman to meet my mother, hot. And that's where Linda Park is. And honestly,
but she's probably a freak in bed too. So,
right. You know. The latter is hotter, let's be honest.
Right.
No disrespect to the actress that played T'Pol. That should say a lot because I can't remember the actress.
Jolene Blaylock.
There you go. No disrespect, but Linda Park, come on, stop it.
Linda Park for the win. That's just
forever. Okay. I can't remember that. It was like the Debtor's Planet. That's what it's called. Star Trek Debtor's Planet. And it's all about a pre-warp society that gets tricked by Ferengis. Mm. And it's also the reason why I read it was it's You remember the episode of TNG where they thawed out the fucking the people from the 20th century?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that business dude who was kind of like freaking out.
Right.
He's in the book, and he's now the Federation's emissary to the Ferengis because he's knowledge of business. Uh-huh. He's the only one that relates to them. Mm. And I thought that premise, I read that and I was like, I got to read this fucking book. And it was a quick read, like 200 pages, little fucking little novel. I think I finished it in 2 days and it was fun. It was just silly fun. You got to remember when you read those books, though, they are non-canon.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't be fucking quoting the book. Well, you remember when he was on the debtor's plan? I'll call your ass out.
That's memory beta, by the way.
Yeah. Get out of here with your memory beta bullshit, okay? We alphas out here. You can also purchase this book on Amazon right now for $7.99 on your Kindle device or paperback for $8.10. I have the paperback. You also earn 17 points. I don't know what that means.
Really? 11 cents more for the paperback?
Yeah, they don't really lower prices for ebooks. Anyone, not just Amazon.
No, but it's like $7.99 for ebooks and only 11 cents to get the physical book. Yeah. Like 11 cents more. That's just kind of nutty.
Let me click on it. Yeah, there's only one left. You can also buy it used for a dollar. Because it's just like a little, it's the small, like the little paperback.
Comes with an autographed black and white picture of Hoshi black outfit. Like,
there's actually some Enterprise novels that I want to read, and one of them it's a three-parter, and I have one. I don't know why I'm pretending I can see it from here, but it has something to do with the Romulan War. And I've been wanting to read that. I think I'm just going to start reading some Star Trek.
Yeah, because the Romulan War takes place
in that era.
No, it's after Enterprise, but it's quite a few years after Enterprise. But it's way before TOS.
It's like in the middle of the two.
Yeah.
Well, where is it in reference to the Klingon War? Because you have no, never mind. Because Discovery is TOS era.
Yeah.
Essentially,
yeah.
Okay, cool. So it's. I want to say 50 years before Discovery. Rough estimate.
Yeah, rough estimate.
I don't think it was far further than that. I don't think it was like 100 years. Because 100 years before Discovery was fucking Enterprise.
Yeah.
So. Because they referenced it in Discovery, didn't they? I thought they mentioned it at one point.
The Romulan War?
Yeah. I thought they did.
Strange New World did. But Discovery might have.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Strange New Worlds did. Yeah. Discovery was too busy crying about their feelings. I'm just kidding. Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share the show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world. Available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.